Hazardous materials incident continues at Pentagon, causing hazmat and large police presence on site, but we don't have any other details. When they become available, we'll pass them along. Closer to home, we have a heat advisory with a high pushing 90 right now, about 89 degrees as we speak. Patrick DeHaan is the head of petroleum analysis at Gas Buddy. And the good news is Michigan fuel prices are dropping as the new Mideast fighting raises further concerns. Patrick, always a pleasure. It's been a wild time for you and your industry, and we depend on you for whatever insight you can offer.
Well, first and foremost, prices are up 6 cents from last week. We did see a price cycle in Michigan to 439 earlier this week, but since they went up, they've started inching back down, as they tend to do. Each time they go up, they start coming back down rather quickly. But overall, price is still about 45 cents lower than they were a month ago. A lot of those refining issues that caused 499 prices back in late April have cleared up. Along with that, oil prices have trailed off. Now, some of oil prices falling doesn't really make a whole lot of sense, especially today, for example. Oil earlier today had been declining, even with President Trump promising new tax on Iran and Kark Island, which is the island that's responsible for nearly all of Iran's oil exports. But for now, yeah, I mean, we can enjoy a little bit lower prices, but I'm still a little anxious now with these escalations that have developed and new attacks that the U.S. launched on Iran yesterday and President Trump promising more today. We could see oil prices going up more dramatically, not only the longer the strait remains closed, but the more escalations that develop. Iran has already promised that if the U.S. does attack Kark Island, that it will launch new attacks. So, you know, 3 weeks ago, it seemed all terrific with de-escalations, with Trump hinting at a deal that was imminent. We haven't gotten that deal, and now we're kind of back to escalations.
Yeah, if anyone, of course, they then risk the wrath of President Trump, but they could go back on video and come up with him saying this is going to be solved in 2 days or 3 days. So many times it would be embarrassing. That being said, it seems like with all of this going on, two things. One, you would think that oil prices would be higher. But secondly, we've been told repeatedly that we don't depend on the Strait of Hormuz for our oil. So why does it affect us so much?
Well, because more of our oil is going everywhere else. The U.S. SPR is being bought by customers overseas. Get that. Our own strategic reserve is not necessarily being utilized by us, but it's being sold to countries that are most impacted. It's, you know, for the same reason that home prices don't just go up or down in one neighborhood. They go up and down an entire region and in really the entire country. We're all affected by this. Anyone that consumes or produces oil, aka every country, is going to be subject to the strait, because countries that don't get their oil now through the strait are buying the same oil that you and I do. They can also buy the same gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel that you and I do, because that oil can be moved anywhere via ships. Unlike electricity, which can't be just pumped onto a boat, oil can be. And that is why you and I are so impacted. Every country in the world is impacted by the strait for that reason.
Patrick DeHaan here, head of petroleum analysis, Gas Buddy. We have depended on him since we met him, and he's never steered us wrong. Now, the president on Sunday on NBC's Meet the Press promised, basically, again, that fuel prices, gasoline and diesel, would, quote, drop like a rock coming down as soon as the war's over. Now, you're in the business. Do you see that happening if, in fact, later today it was announced, quote, unquote, that the war is over?
Well, sure, but we're fast-forwarding to the end of it. More increasingly every day, it looks like, when's the end going to be? Right, because we can all talk about when this is over, but We're not getting a day closer to the end of the war, especially with new escalations. I mean, who knows? What if the end of the war, what if Iran doesn't reopen the strait for 2 or 3 years? Sure, it sounds terrific to talk about the end of it, but it doesn't seem like, for as much as Trump is talking about the end of the war, he's certainly not trying to get there, especially with new attacks. Whether those are warranted or not, I'm not taking an opinion on that. But You know, to talk about the end of something while you're still ramping up and escalating the situation, you know, yeah, sure, someday, but there could be a lot of doom and gloom that really changes the end goal as well. I mean, if the U.S. decimates in Iran, if they take over Kark Island and Iran, say, launches nuclear missiles, I mean, that's extremely unlikely. But if that were happening, I mean, to talk about the end and cheap gas seems kind of foolish, right? Because who knows? There could be a lot of things damaged or destroyed, and we could talk about the end of it, but we're very, I mean, we're far from it at this point. So, I mean, yeah, eventually things go back to normal, right? But is it going to be a new normal, or is it going to be a new world? You know, will things look a lot differently by the end?
Those are awfully good questions, Patrick, that's for sure. Do you see any way around this, finding maybe a new location for lots of oil somewhere that we haven't plugged into before?
Well, you know, I mean, President Trump has already, you know, steered Venezuelan oil to us. It's nowhere near the amount of oil that comes to the Strait. I mean, hey, if there was a lever the Trump administration could pull, they would absolutely pull it. But there's no such lever. They've already done, they've pulled every lever already. Venezuela's oil output is rising, but it can't rise nearly as quickly to offset what we're losing through the Strait. They, if you issued the E15 waiver, they issued a summer gasoline waiver, they issued a Jones Act waiver, they issued the summer gasoline waiver. So there's a lot of waivers, but ultimately, the longer the Strait remains closed, the less impactful those waivers are really going to be. So, you know, there's still the potential that, I mean, all the oil executives are still warning, right? In fact, earlier today, news article, U.S. oil companies still warning President Trump that gas prices could rise. And I'm in the same boat because, you know, last week it seemed like we were closer to seeing the Strait reopened and a new deal. Today it's new escalations that are pushing that further down the road. And when oil companies' executives are warning about something, it's probably worth listening to. So the risk is that now we are, again, getting into a worsening problem, not a problem that's any closer to being resolved.
One of the sad, most jarring things that you've said, Patrick, is that our oil in strategic reserves and such is actually not going to us, but going to the highest bidders around the world. So we are being sacrificed in what we have to pay at the pump so that the country makes more money off that oil. I'm not sure where that money goes. And if, you know, if they tell us our taxes are reduced because of it or something else, then I'm okay. But I haven't heard anything like that.
Yeah, no, that'll go to the government's general fund. And who knows, hopefully they'll replenish it. Right after two administrations have both used it for political purposes or who knows, for crisis, I just hope that we'll eventually refill it all up because, you know, the world we live in, we could definitely use the strategic reserves and we should use it, not necessarily other countries.
They're our strategic reserves.
It's the U.S. strategic reserve, not the EU strategic reserve.
Correct. Patrick DeHaan telling it like he sees it, and he sees it as the head of petroleum analysis for Gas Buddy. Thank you so much, Patrick. Have a great weekend.
Thanks for having me, Paul. Appreciate it.
Always our pleasure. As we continue at 12:43 on 760 WJR, this is Focus with Paul W. Smith on WJR.